Amen. Thank you, Judy. And Todd, my message here this morning is offering encouragement during difficult days. Offering encouragement during difficult days. Verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 12, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 12 and verse 25, says, heaviness or anxiety in the heart of a man maketh it stoop or be bowed down, but a good word maketh it glad. Let's pray here this morning. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, as we look at this topic of encouragement, Lord, we live during difficult days here in America, and not only here in America, but around the world. Lord, there's difficult days for so many people. And Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that you would give us some hope, some encouragement as believers. Father, help us not be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Father, I pray that we would encourage one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, bless this word to your people's hearts. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, brings glory to his name, and advances your kingdom. So Lord, bless us as your people. We're hungry people, we're needy people, God. We're sheep, and I thank you for our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. So guide us in your word and feed us with your heavenly manna, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. William Arthur Ward said these words. He says, flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you. You know, encouragement's important. You know, we live in a time where it's difficult time. We've never had a time like this. Can anybody ever remember a time in America like this? In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. You know, a lot of us are going through difficult times, and there's fears and uncertainties and unknowns. It's hard to imagine that a little virus could turn our whole economy upside down. It's just unimaginable. You know, as God's people, God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He doesn't want us to faint. He doesn't want us to be downcast or depressed. Heaviness or anxiety in the heart of a man, it makes it stoop. And that's where we can find ourselves. We can find, maybe not outwardly, you know, sometimes we as men, we put on the good show. You know, we our shoulders are back, we're standing strong, but inside we can be crushed. We can be crushed on the inside. You know, women are so much, when they get emotional, they start tearing up, and that's a woman. That's where God made them. And sometimes as men, we act strong and tall, but on the inside, we don't have it all together. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to encourage each other. The thing about encouragement is, there may be a day when you're up and I'm down, and I need that encouragement. But flip that around, give another 2 weeks, you might be down and I might be up, and I need to help you. You know, we need to encourage each other because life is short. And you know what Satan would like to do? He'd like us to get our eyes off the Lord and just on our problems. He'd like to get our eyes off the Lord and on our situation. He'd like us to get our eyes off of God's eternal purpose and plan for each of us and start living in such a way that we become ineffective and immobile for God's use in his kingdom. You know, this verse 25, heaviness, anxiety in the heart makes it stoop. And there's people that are bowed down. Well, in our country, what's making people bow down? Some men have lost their jobs. You know, when women meet each other, in the first few moments, they don't know each other. They'll come around the question, how many kids you got? That's where women go. How many kids you got? You know, tell me about your family. Men meet men. You know what? Very shortly after they meet each other, what do you do for work? Where do you work? And that's where they go, because they want to know who they're talking to. And if a man has to say, I have no job, that puts him down a notch or two. Do you know what I'm saying? That's tough. And, you know, there's a lot that makes people stoop. You know, I shared this a number of weeks ago. I met a fellow in the cemetery here, and he was, and I was just trying to talk to him. But he was so jittery, and I don't know, I was just being, you know, wasn't real close to him, you know, I was a pretty good distance away, you know, this conversation. But when he said to me, he looked right at me and said, "Do you have to stand so close?" And I wasn't close at all, but I realized, oh, that guy is fearful of the coronavirus. And not only is he fearful, the reason he's afraid of the virus, he's afraid he might die. That's why he was so jittery. You know, fear of death is a terrible thing. Can that make you have anxiety on the inside if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity at? Can that make you anxious on the inside? Sure it can. You know, there's a lot of things that can make us. I was amazed when this coronavirus came out that you could not find toilet paper in the stores. Did anybody go through that? Do you know what I'm talking about? You couldn't find it in the stores. Some people's fears takes them in all kinds of strange places. I gotta have this. You know, they just couldn't do without toilet paper. But I don't know about you, but have you noticed in Walmart and different stores, the Burlington I was in the other week, it's empty. You've noticed that, the stores? They look different, they're not stocked well. Does that put a little anxiety in you? Like, this is really strange. I've never seen that before. You know, this anxiety can just build and build and build. You know, if you lived in California and you wanted to hold a church service, guess what the governor in California says? Governor Newsom, no in-house worship services. There's been churches that says, we're holding church. This is essential. Now, the world may call the church what? Non-essential. But guess what? Jesus Christ died for the church. Church is essential.
Amen.
Church is essential. And you can't minimize God. You know, I don't understand these politicians that don't want to bring God into this situation. You know, there's a lot of things that are making us stoop on the inside. You know, we've got young families trying to educate their kids. How do they do that now? Schools, are they open? Are they closed? Full days, part days? Are the kids wearing masks? Are they not wearing masks? You know, it just goes on and on. Stress making you stoop on the inside. I don't know about you, but I think about this sometimes. Our national debt. It stands as of June, $26 trillion. I don't know, does your bank account go that high? Mine doesn't. $26 trillion. For every American citizen, that's over $88,000 a person. If you're a taxpayer, you owe over close to $300,000, a little shy of $300,000 you owe the government. Because where does the government get their money from? Now, they can print it. The green ink's pretty cheap. They can just keep cranking it out. But for you and I, we got to work at it. And that's a lot of debt. It's not good for our nation to be in debt. I could go on and on and on. But that verse says, verse 20, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Those are realities, okay? Those are real realities. But I want us to think about this. God is a reality too. And God has the final word. This world is not our home. We're passing through. And if all you've got to live for is just this world, I pity you. Because this world's getting worse and worse. But if you're a believer, heaviness and the heart of man anxiety makes it stoop. But a good word makes it glad. God's got a good word for you. God's got a good word for you. You know, God has words in His Bible. All right. Do you ever claim promises of God? What's a promise of God? It's something God says, because God is God, He says it, and it's true. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that a good word for us? Because when the world gets crazy and starts going more and more crazy, I know my God is in control. And I know he's going to take care of me and take care of God's people. And I can trust that. And I trust that. And you know what? When I trust God's word, you know what that does for me? It takes that anxiety and lowers it. It takes that inner fear and dissipates it. Because I know God has a purpose in it. And I know that God is working all things together for good. You know, God has a lot in his word to encourage us. Now, if you've got anxiety or depression or discouragement, whatever you're struggling emotionally with, I want you to think about some things here this morning I want to give to you that will help us in the right direction. Now, the first thing I want to talk about from the Lord is the love of God. Now, if you're a saint of God and you've got problems, if you're a saint of God and you've got struggles, if you're a saint of God and I've got whatever is in front of you, I want to tell you this. In Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. God is God. God can't love you more. He can't love you less. God loves you perfectly. He's God. And we can rest in the love of God that he has for you and for me. You ask me, how much does God love me? How much does God love you? This is how much. He spared not his own son for you, but gave him up freely for us all. That's how much God loves you. And so if you have anxiety or struggles, depression, you feel that stooping, that bowing down inside, just remember, now I will say this. Man is made up of intellect, emotion, and will. Your emotions can run crazy sometimes. For what you do, you take your intellect and your will. Any two of the three can overcome the one. In other words, if your emotions are running crazy, I don't feel God's love, then you say to yourself, your intellect says, God's word says, he loves me perfectly. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. God's love is through his son. That's what your intellect tells you. Then by your will, you say, I will exercise this in my spirit. I will believe this. I will follow it. And I will keep saying it over and over because God's word is true. That will take your emotions and get it back in line. Any two of the three can overcome the one that is weak because we all can have those weaknesses. So the first thing, focus on from the Lord. If you're stooped down on the inside, focus on the love of God. Now, the second thing is the presence of God in your life. Turn to John chapter 14 here for a moment. John chapter 14, the presence of God. Verse 26, John 14, 26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, but the Comforter, verse 26, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, this Holy Spirit, the presence of God, goes with us. When you open God's word, you need to pray this before you read it. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, teach me what your word's saying. Unsaved people, they can read the Bible and it's like a jumbled book to them. They have no understanding. As a believer, you open the scriptures. Lord, may your Holy Spirit teach me. Give me the understanding of what your word is saying. I have read the Bible sometimes, and this is just between me and God, and the words have just like jumped off the page at me. Have you ever had that happen to you? The word is just like, whoom. I said, wow. It's just like God energizes it. Because that's the Holy Spirit helping me understand it and applying it to my life. He shall teach you all. His presence goes with you. God's not going to leave you alone. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment in our hearts that we belong to him. The presence of God, the love of God, the presence of God. If you're bowed down on the inside, you're stooped down, you need to focus on the promises of God. Now, why do we hide God's word in our heart? We might not sin against him. It's Psalm 119. We got it. But as we memorize God's word, when Satan was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, what did he say to Satan's each of his temptation? He said, it is what? Written. He used God's word. Now, can Satan put thoughts in your mind? Can he put discouraging ideas in your mind? Can Satan take and you're just having a good, and all of a sudden something you don't even know where it comes from, and it's, you know what you do? If it's a lie from the devil, it's a lie. And how do you counter that lie? You take, God said this, and that's what you embrace. When Satan tells you a lie, you take God's word and you push back on that lie. Because if you don't take and if you don't exercise your will and the authority that God gives you as a child bought son of God, daughter of God, you need to take that word that you've hidden, that promises of God, and you cling to that. Did Job have a tough time in the Bible? He had a tough time. You know what Job said in Job? He goes, at one point he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he said, in my flesh I shall see God. You know what he's doing? He's taking the promises of God and making them real to him in his despair and saying, I know I'm going to see God one day. And see, in your pain, you know what that should do? If you're going through it, it should push you closer to God, not away from God. See, in our pain and our problems, Satan means to bring the worst out in us, but God wants to bring the best out in us. His love, his presence, his promises, they all work for us to help us through these tough times. You know, sometimes we've got to do a little soul searching. Look in Psalm 42 here for a minute. This is David. David hounded by Saul for years. David, as he wrote the Psalms here, this is his diary, so to speak. It's the Word of God, but his struggles that he went through. You know, if you are stooped down, sometimes you got to figure out, why do I feel this way? And David, in verse 5, he said these words as he penned these words. Why art thou cast down on my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? That was reality for him. I mean, he felt that stooping down, that pressure, that pushing down inside of him. And he was looking and said, he was looking at himself and why do I feel this way? Why are you disquieted me? But what did he do? Look what he did in verse 5. He turned that right around and he said, hope thou in God. See, his feelings were taking him this way. And he said, I'm not going there. Feelings, I'm disquieted. I got all these problems, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hope in God. See, that turns your spirit around. That keeps you from sliding down that slippery slope of discouragement and into depression and despair. And David, he cried out, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The love of God, the presence of God, and the help of God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, I feel sorry for people that don't know how to pray, that don't know how to cast their burdens on the Lord. It's a blessing for the saints of God that we can just lay our troubles out before God and say, God, you're God. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know how to get through this day. But God, you're God, and help me. And you know, for me, sometimes when I cast my burdens for the Lord, my circumstance at that very moment may not change. But you know what it changes? It changes me. The burden that was on my shoulders, it rolls it back onto God. Because God, I belong. See, when you surrender to God, he's got all of you. Every bit of me belongs to God. And I just surrender myself to God and say, God, you know what I'm going through. So who's our help? Our help is from the Lord. And that's what David said here in verse 5. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. If you stoop down on the inside, what David said here, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Is praise easy? It's easy when things are going good for you. But when things aren't going so good for you, can you get on your knees and say, praise God from whom all blessings flow, and worship him, and get out a hymn book and just sing to him and just acknowledge him? See, when you learn to praise in your deep sorrows, that's when you start gaining spiritual ground. That's when you start growing in your faith and your trust in him. You know, our Lord Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and great drops of blood as he was praying, what did he pray? Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. That's a surrendered life. And you can praise God when you have a surrendered life. You can praise him. And in your praise to God, it'll change your focus. Because what can happen? You're stooped down on the inside. You're bowed down. But sometimes your focus is inward instead of upward. All on your problems, all on your situation, all on your struggles. And the minute you stop and you focus on God and his greatness, his goodness, his promises, his love for you, your whole attitude can change. Zig Ziglar had this little phrase, sometimes we have stinking thinking. Don't we? Is that true? Is God, don't we sometimes have stinking? We don't think right. But if you get your thinking right, your emotions are going to follow your thinking. Your emotions always follow your thought pattern. If you're discouraged, you're thinking discouraging thoughts. If you're hopeful, you're thinking hopeful thoughts. Emotions follow your thinking. And what you want to do, as Proverbs says, a man thinking in his heart, so is he. You want to think those thoughts about God, to praise him. Be God-focused, not your problem-focused. God's always on the throne. Now, moving ahead in this world, tell me, of a truth, is this world going to get better or worse before God comes back? Which is it? Better or worse? Worse. And if it's going to get worse, be prepared for worse. And how do you get prepared? You focus on God. And I want to let God rule and reign over the affairs of men. And God is God, and I am not. And, you know, the rapture of the church, that can happen when? In time. There's nothing stopping the rapture church. Do you realize in Revelation chapter 3, that's the last time the church is mentioned till the end of the book of Revelation? After chapter 4, that's when things get really ugly in this world. And you don't want to be left behind. If you don't know God and you're left behind, I pity you. Because the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet are going to make havoc of this world. And then the plagues of God come. What you want to make sure is you know God and you're safe from your sins. And you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. He rose from the dead. That's our hope. And even though I may have sorrow upon sorrow in this world, you know what I can do? I can praise God he's coming back again. Because heaven is my what? Home. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to heaven. Now in heaven, there's no more sin. Think about that for a minute. No more sin. I can't imagine a world without sin. But there's going to be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more pain. All those things have been what? Passed away. Does that give you a blessing? Does that give you, it gives me a blessing. And I hope you have that mindset that you're not just looking inward at your problems, but you're looking upward at the great God, and you praise him because he's with you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. He's our God. So what do you think about? a good word. Now, some people have stinking thinking. They don't think right. Sometimes life has crushed them. I got it. We're there. But what we can do as God's people, you might be up and your friend or neighbor might be down. You know what you can do over them? Can I pray for you? Those few words can mean so much to some people. Can I pray for you? That's a simple thing, but I appreciate it when people say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. That means a lot to me. Do you like people to pray for you? I do. Can you encourage other people? Can you encourage them? Turn to the book of Hebrews here for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10, very familiar scripture to many of us. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast, cling to, don't let go, the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for our work and labor in the Lord is not in vain. You hold your faith without wavering. You love God, you're faithful to God. You're faithful to God's house on Sunday mornings, you're faithful in giving, faithful in praying, serving, all those things. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another. See, that's where we get into the encouragement. Let us consider one another. Now, all these things we do inward, we do inward toward God, but how about toward one another? Let us consider one another to provoke or stir up. Consider one another, stir up unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's church, as the manner of some is. Some people, they neglect it. But exhorting one another, encouraging, exhorting, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching. Now, what can you do this week? Can you encourage somebody? Can you be an encourager? Can you come and give a good word to somebody? Joanne, did people encourage you this week? Absolutely. And I heard God's people encouraging Joanne, and as a pastor, that blessed me. They were blessing her. When people took food over to her, that blessed me to hear that. When people were praying for Joanne, that blessed me. You know why? Because I knew God's people were focused on a woman that needed some prayer and some encouragement. Can you encourage somebody this week? Find a need in somebody's life and encourage them. Because some people are stooped down on the inside. And they need God. Does God use us? Absolutely. And God might use you to be his voice in somebody's ear that needs a word of encouragement. Because some people are stooped down. And they need some encouragement. Now, here it says to stir up unto love and to good works. It says here, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day. What's that day? Jesus Christ is coming back. That's the day. And it could happen any time. And we as God's people, we need to be in that mindset that we're encouraging each other, because give and it shall be given unto you. You encourage other people, I guarantee you there's going to be a time in your life you're going to need somebody come alongside you. And when you've blessed other people, all of a sudden, as you blessed others, it's going to bless you back. And you encourage others, it's going to come back to you. And you be there for people and you show them God's love and you encourage them. Because sometimes, you know, God calls us sheep. Are sheep intelligent or dumb animals? Yes, very dumb. Thank you, Jay, for that great insight for us here this morning. Yes, they're very dumb animals. And some of us are dumb sheep. And you know what we need? We need a good brother or sister come alongside and say, hey, why don't you come to church with me this Sunday? you haven't been in church in a long time. Why don't you come with me? Can you do that? Can you encourage people? Can you, you know, they got situations, they don't know how to handle it. You can come up to them and say, let me pray for you. I don't have an answer, but I know a God that does, and I'll pray for you. Because that's when the body of Christ connects with each other and blesses each other. You know, that day is approaching soon, but let's exhort and encourage one another in these days. You know, my wife and I, Annetta Zimmerman, in Brethren Village there in the nursing home, guess what? Her family can't come see her. If they talk to her, they have to talk outside the window to her. Do you think she feels a little alone? You know, my wife and I, we call her Sunday afternoon, hi, Annetta, how you doing? Talk to her a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever, an hour maybe, and not too often an hour, but we'll talk to her. You know what Jesus says? Talking about the sheep and the goat in Matthew 25. When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've what? Done it unto me. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about when you do something encouraging somebody that you're doing it as unto the Lord? Does God take notice of that? He sure did. Because the people that didn't, guess what he told them? When I was hungry and I was naked and I was destitute and I was sick and in prison, you didn't come see me. And they said, well, when did we see you like that? And he said, when you've done on the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And when you encourage somebody and you're there for somebody, it's just like doing it for God. It's serious. God takes it serious to encourage each other. Turn back to Proverbs 25 here. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it what? Glad. Can you give a good word to somebody this week? Can you encourage somebody this week? Can you bless somebody this week? That's what God would have us do. Well, let's close here in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've looked at various scriptures here this morning and exhorting, encouraging, and God, you're high and lifted up on a throne. And Lord, you rule and reign. You're sovereign God of this universe. Father, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to your purpose. And Father, this week is before us as your people. Lord, there's a lot of hurting saints out there and a lot of hurting people. They're stooped down. They're bowed down. God, may we be the people of God that bring a good word to those that need it, that bring a word about you or a promise of God or assurance of the presence of God or just so many things that we can encourage or just to rest in the love of God. Father, help us be the saints of God that love one another fervently, God. Lord, help us this week to see you working in and through our lives. And Lord, we know that as we do it unto others, we've done it unto you. And Lord, as we cast our bread upon the water, it comes back to us. And Lord, we reap what we sow, God. And as we bless others, we in turn will be blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And God, may we have that mindset, Lord. So Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the praise that we can give to you. God, I didn't even touch upon the peace of God, the security of God, the God of hope. Lord, there's so many other things we could have talked about here this morning. But I just thank you that you're God and you love us and you're faithful. And bless us as your people, Lord, this week. Help us, Lord, to encourage each other and to be there. And so much we see the day approaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.